comic and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Hello, hello. So we are back at Intravenous at CJSF 90.1 FM. And for today's important conversation, I have a very special guest with me. And before we get started, I would like to acknowledge that we are on the unceded ancestral territories of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. And as this is the Sexual Harassment and Awareness Month, I have a wonderful volunteer with us who's going to have important things to say. And I'm going to try and not talk too much and let Saula take it away for us today at Intravenous. And then we'll also have some amazing songs that Paula and Sao prepped for us here at Intravenous. So Sao, can you introduce yourself and what's happening? How's life? How's school?
Sure. So good morning, everyone. My name is Salome, but I prefer Salo. My pronouns are her and she. I am from Argentina originally, from Patagonia. That's the ancestral territories of the Aonican, Selknam, and Mapuches. I moved to Canada in 2016, and I'm a fourth-year student at SFU. I'm currently majoring in World Lit and International Studies. And now I'm an active member of the Active Bystander Networks, who is part of the SVSPO, so the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office here at SFU.
That's so amazing, because I'm also an international studies minor in communication. So I think I can feel you, or we can both understand that there's already so much reading that we need to do in the classes.
Absolutely.
It's just 10th January and we have so much to do already. I cannot believe 17th January. So I cannot believe that things that are running too fast.
I know.
it's interesting. But no, we are here for a very important conversation, and thank you so much for making the time. And I just wanted to perhaps start the conversation and think about the audiences who might be interested in knowing what is Active Bystander Network at SFU and what kind of things you guys do.
Sure. So the ABN, or also known as the Active Bystander Network, it is a volunteer opportunity and a peer education program. It's run by the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office here at SFU. So at the ABN, we are all volunteers, and we aim to create a positive change by engaging in sexual violence prevention and education on campus. We learn how to recognize harmful situations, how to intervene appropriately to prevent potential sexual violence on campus and out of campus too. For instance, situations that promote harmful conceptions of prevent situations that led to sexual violence. So more being open to new conversations, open to dialogue with our peers, in classmates, faculties, staff members. So AVN educates and provides support and resources to create culture of care and consent on campus. We also have resources for victims and everyone in their circle. So if you're not a victim, but you know someone who is, and you need to talk to someone about how to be a better friend, a better partner, a better parent, you can always come to us too, and we can help you get some tools to learn about the situation, how to act, how to interact with these kind of events.
That's so amazing, and I feel like this is such an important toolkit that should be part of our education as well. But I'm just curious, because you're a fourth year student, and I'm sure you have a lot on your plate already, but what sparked your interest in the ABN network and doing stuff like this and getting involved in such important things? How and why?
So I actually been involved in this kind of groups since high school. As I said, I come from Argentina. Being part of the Global South, we don't have the best education in any sense. So I was kind of interested from a young age about sexual education, what was consent, just because of media and talking with friends, we have these questions. So it started in high school. And then in college, I was also part of a group about consent. It was called Consent Champions. So I participated in that one for 2 years. Again, doing events, participating on workshops, leading workshops. And then when I transferred to SFU, I didn't know about it at the beginning until class day. And then I found Paola actually in a Zoom call because it was virtual because of the pandemic. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know you guys had like this kind of groups here too. So it was more about trying to learn more about how things work here, how can I help, how can I keep participating and being a positive impact, not only at SFU, but in the community. And it's something I actually want to keep doing after graduation. It's something I want to be a professional on. So I think not only to help in campus, but actually to learn and become more aware of what my surroundings are about here at SFU and in Vancouver.
No, that's amazing, because I feel like as students, we have so many sources on campus, and it's actually great that you're able to access those resources and be part of them. I'm also really interested in, and I know this is not what we have here, but just came in my mind because I was also attending a presentation in my class and my workplace before coming to this show. And I was just thinking about how often it is painted that in the global south, the conditions are so bad, the people are being treated so bad, and the global north is great. So everything here is just fine. So like, how do you think that is problematic, especially when thinking about topics like gender, sexuality, mm-hmm. and harassment?
So spoiler alert, it's not great in here either. Every country has their problems, probably different. There's like a lot of privileges here that we don't have in the global south. Like in my country specifically, we have a lot of laws that sometimes are more harmful to victims than actually helping them. But I feel like here in Canada, like in the global north in general, there's a lot of silence too. There's a lot of not blaming the victim but not hearing to them. Or there's like this culture of, if we don't talk about it, it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So it's not really that it's better or like things don't happen here or like people are more educated in sexual violence and consent, that these things don't happen as often. I think there's more a culture of silence and there's a lot of lack of information too. Like as you say before, there's a lot of resources in campus that we don't know about. So yeah, I think like here you really need to like dig in and do your own research in order to learn about this stuff. It should be way more accessible and way more clear for people to find these resources and actually know the information that they need to know and actually know about the cases that are happening in the country that we never learn about.
Oh, yeah. I think this is such an important point because I also come from a country that is considered in the global south, and I was really interested in having someone, some student here as well, because it is such an important thing to me as well to understand. And it's so great that you made time at 10 a.m. in the morning. So before we, you know, talk more about this, I think it's time for a little bit of a song break. So do you want to introduce the song for us?
Sure. So our first song is Mirror by Kendrick Lamar. So Kendrick is an American rapper and singer-songwriter. He's also known as King Kendrick. So his artistry and cinematic storytelling have made him an influential figure in the contemporary hip-hop culture. He has a Billboard and a Vibe naming him the second greatest rapper of all time in 2023. So here's Mirror by Kendrick Lamar.
Feelings and tell you the truth. woke up in the morning for the daily news. I was so low mourning through the family feuds. Baby, I told your story and laid down all the rules. Still, you won't grow, ain't no me. Is toxic. Girl, I'm not relevant to giving on profit. Personal gain of my pain is nonsense. Darling, my demons is off the leash for a mosh pit. Baby, I just had a baby, you know she need me. Working on myself and counseling is not easy. Don't you point a finger, just to point a finger. Cause critical thinking is a deal breaker. Faith in one man is a ship sinking. Do yourself a favor and get a mirror that mirror grievance. Then point it at me so the reflection can mirror freedom. She told me that she need me the most, I didn't believe her. She even called me names on a post, the world can see it. Jokes and gaslighting, mad at me cause she didn't get my vote. She say I'm trifling, disregarding the way that I cope with my own vices. Maybe it's time to break it off, run away from the culture to follow my heart.
Such a fiery song. Thank you so much for recommending that song. Loved it. Just to like keep the conversations going, I think it might be interesting to tell our listeners also about what actually the Sexual Assault Awareness Month is about, what the campaign is, and yeah, what is happening with SAM.
Yeah, so as right now it's January, so it's the Sexual Assault Awareness Month. We also call it SAM for short. So this is a month-long series of engagement opportunities on campus. It is made in collaboration with the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, with SFU and FIC. The purpose of SAM is to raise awareness about sexual violence and to empower SFU and FIC students, faculty, staff, and administrators to engage in the complex topics in a meaningful way. So this year, the theme of SAM is Masculinities for Humanity. And although women, girls, and two-spirited LGBTQ plus people are disproportionately impacted by sexual violence, any conversation of or actions to sexual violence must include all genders, so including men and boys. And in this case, I'm using the terms men and boys to talk about people, cis people and transgender people too. We are using this as a spectrum and not only as a set definition of the word. So, and the SVSPO is inviting SFU and FIC community to ignite conversation around the concept of masculinity. So we want to open the space to practice in a more like meaningful, vulnerable, and like care way. We know that the words, we all grew up with like a different meaning of what masculinity is, either from the media, from our family, from friends. We all have this specific idea of what masculinity is or how a masculine person like should act or behave. So we want to challenge that a little bit and hear what people in campus have to say about this, how they feel, how they want masculinity to look like in the future. So there will be a variety of events and initiatives on campus. They will be led by different SFU communities, partners, and students. For example, on Wednesday, January 24th, the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office is going to host a community conversation. So this is going to be called My Journey with Masculinity, and it will be with Will Prakash. He's the manager of the Sexual Violence Prevention Education Program at Macquarie University's Sexual Violence Prevention and Response Office. Then also Alex Manley, a non-binary person, writer and author of his book, The New Masculinity, A Roadmap of a 21st Century Definition of Manhood. And also J.J. Watson McKay as a moderator.
That's actually really amazing because we also had some people come in last year as well to talk about the SAM month and what the ABN is about. But I think it's really cool because now we have like more people coming on campus because it's 2024. Finally, we at least dealt with the different waves of COVID, so we are officially like back on campus and doing stuff. And this is so interesting. There are so many good people in the sense that they know what they're talking about. They're so well versed. It's amazing. Thank you so much for, you know, organizing, helping with things like this. This is amazing. And I was just very curious about how the specific focus on masculinities and the project on masculinity for humanities. Mm-hmm. How does it play?
So for this year, us as a group in the AVN, we create a survey with questions for students, faculty, and staff members. So this one is about how masculinity has impacted their lives and what they expect in the future. So we are really hopeful to get like a bigger picture of how masculinity is seen on campus and how not only how they see it in the future, but how can we help to make that future possible too. So some of the questions we used for the survey were, what do you learn about what it means to be a man / masculine presenting growing up? What does masculinity look like in an ideal future? So what is your ideal vision of masculinity? How it creates a healthy social environment for everyone? The next question is, have you ever felt pressure to conform to aspects of masculinity that you have felt uncomfortable with? So, for example, there was an answer saying that they didn't feel comfortable sharing emotions or feeling vulnerable or like having this great expectation that you have to be strong, you have to be tough. Another question was, do you believe that we currently live in a patriarchal society? And I think that's a really important one too, especially to understand where we stand right now. So our aim was to collect data in order to present how the idea of masculinity is perceived and experienced by university members and present those findings in an educational video. We are currently right now working in the video. We're doing interviews with different participants of the survey, talking to them about the experience they had with the survey and with masculinity, and what do they expect with the results that we gather from the surveys. So we received around 79 responses to the survey. We target members of the SFU community just to be more concise and to know our area and how to work in campus in the future. So we are now, with this information that we got, we can now present better events in the future. Now that we know how people feel on campus, what the insecurities are about, we can create more targeted events, more targeted workshops, seeing exactly what people on campus want to see and want to learn. So we really hope that this helps the SFU community and having a better understanding of how masculinity is viewed and how it also affects everyone. So yeah, the idea is to have like a more healthy and positive view on masculinity.
Yeah, I can't stop it. I was just trying to connect the conversation that we're having right now with the talk that I was part of like last week. Mm-hmm. And it is, I don't know, I've said this word interesting so many times already, but it is actually really interesting. Because we live in such a a digital age, and I think social media is just everywhere. We were born in a generation with phones, so how would you think, you don't have to be an expert on this, but if we can just talk about our own experiences, I think it's really interesting how the digital media and social media specifically created what masculinity means and how it's really different from the masculinity that was created, for example, in the ads or in the newspapers in the past. So how do you see social media playing role? Do you think it's positive, or what kind of tensions do you see with masculinity construction and social media? And I'm also happy to answer the question myself, because this is a question that just came to my mind.
Yes, perfect. I think it's changing a lot, and it has changed a lot from when I was little. I'm 25 now, so. And again, growing up in Argentina, social media wasn't really a thing back at the time, too. And I had the privilege to grow up in a family that they didn't push femininity into myself or my sisters. We were free to be as masculine or as feminine as possible without any restrictions. So that was amazing from our parents. But later in life, once social media starts kicking in, and also movies and things like that, you really start to see the difference that they make in the media between masculinity and femininity. And I feel in the past, maybe 2010s or around that time, there was a really big difference in the media or what masculinity is and what femininity is. But I feel now we're doing way better. There's still a lot to change. There's still a lot of work to do, and people need to be more open and understanding what a lot of influencers right now are doing, and understand how a big and powerful and positive impact it actually is, and not something that is harmful to anyone. But as right now, I can think of TikToks, videos I watch, YouTube videos, and I see so many masculine makeup artists too, not only because they are men, but also you can see they grow their beard or their mustache, and they still put on makeup, so this more fluid sense of masculinity and what it really is. And also people who identify as female also embracing their masculinity, because it's not something gendered or sexual about masculinity and femininity. We all can have both energies and living that fluidity within ourselves. So for me personally, I think that we still have a lot to work on. But I feel like we have come a long way now. There's a lot of change happening right now, and we should embrace it.
That's true, I think. But I'm actually a researcher with social media data and stuff. So I know that we have more content creators who make those get ready with me tutorials. And then there's how to impress a man, and then people people have created so many comedy videos sarcastically commenting on how this is so wrong, that you should not be dressing or behaving just to appease or just to look a certain way to get the male gaze. And I think that was really good. But then at the same time, so many products and so many celebrities push the ideal of this is how your body should look this is the color for you. So for example, the Barbie movie really did a good job in talking about important issues and the problems with patriarchy. But then I don't know, I have my own thoughts as well, but then so femininity is generally pictured as something that is pink, soft, and then masculinity is hard, rugged. So I feel the polarization online still exists. It really depends on what kind of filter bubbles we are in, so what kind of friends we have, so we get suggested same kind of content. But I think yes, we have come a long way, but still, as you said, there is
a lot of things to change.
Exactly. Even with the movies, the portrayal of trans women or trans men, that still has its problems. We could talk about it forever.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. Or I think we still have yeah, we have like, we just are at like halftime right now. So
perfect.
We have too much
time to chat.
We have, yeah, we will delve more into this, but I think it's a good time to introduce a second song.
Sure.
And then we can chat more.
Yeah, so the second song is Papaoutai by Stromae. So this song by the amazing Belgian singer refers to the absence of Stromae's father, who had a little presence in Stromae's life, even before being killed in the 1994 Rwanda genocide. And to Stromae's fear of being unable to be an effective father, with no memory of ever having a father on his own.
So the song is coming up, and then we'll get more into the discussion about, I think, consent, because that's the whole SAM month about, and also Valentine's is coming up, so I think it's a very important conversation also to have. Yeah, so let's listen to the song.
Dites-moi d'où il vient, enfin je saurai où je vais. Maman dit que lorsqu'on cherche bien, on finit toujours par trouver. Elle dit qu'il n'est jamais très loin, qu'il part très souvent travailler. Maman dit travailler c'est bien, bien mieux qu'être mal accompagné. Pas vrai, où est ton papa? Dis-moi où est ton papa? Sans même devoir lui parler, il sait ce qui ne va pas. Ah sacré papa, dis-moi où es-tu caché? Ça doit faire au moins mille fois que j'ai compté mes doigts. Hey. Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es, où t'es, où papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es papa, où t'es? Où t'es, où t'es, où papa, où t'es? Quoi, qu'on y croit ou pas, y aura bien un jour où on n'y croira plus. Un jour ou l'autre, on sera tous papa, et d'un jour à l'autre, on aura disparu. Serons-nous détestables? Serons-nous admirables? Des géniteurs ou des génies? Dites-nous qui donne naissance aux irresponsables? Hein? Dites-nous qui? Tiens, tout le monde sait comment on fait des bébés, mais personne sait comment on fait des papas. Monsieur, je sais tout, on aurait hérité, c'est ça. Faut le sucer de son pouce ou quoi? Dites-nous où c'est caché, ça doit faire au moins mille fois qu'on a bouffé nos doigts. Hey. Où t'es, papa, où t'es? Où t'es, papa, où t'es? Où t'es, papa, où t'es? Papa, dis-moi où est ton papa? Sans même devoir lui parler, il sait ce qui ne va pas. Ah sacré papa, dis-moi où es-tu caché? Ça doit faire au moins mille fois que j'ai compté mes doigts. Hey, où est ton papa? Dis-moi où est ton papa? Sans même devoir lui parler, il sait ce qui ne va pas. Ah sacré papa, dis-moi où es-tu caché? Ça doit faire au moins mille fois que j'ai